order. We would like to excuse Trustee Ebert, who is not able to be here with us today. We do have Trustees Reynolds, Harvey, Gibson, and Barron on the phone, right?
Yes.
Bob, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am, Carrie.
Okay,
morning,
thank
Bob.
You. Good morning. And also on the phone, I believe we have Jeff Warblow, is that right?
Correct. Good morning.
Okay, good to have you. And we also have our staff in the room as well, so both Carrie and Rachel and Paul. So that's the makeup. We do have a member of the public here today, Mike Morial. Is that how you say your name, sir? Morial? Mike? Okay. Welcome. We're glad to have you with us today. Thank you. We will begin by having public comments. So under item B, if there's any from the public who are here that would like to comment, this could be board members, but Mike, it's the time for you as well if you have something you'd want to say. This is it. No?
Good, thank you.
Okay, sounds good. So to consent items, item number one, request for approval of district bills to be paid. Which is the warrants number 250 through 267 in the amount of $64,649.03. Request for approval of the minutes for the meeting held on August 21st of 2017, and request to ratify the award of the well drilling contract to Zim Industries. Any discussion or conversation on the consent items?
Mr. Chairman, could I bring just a couple of things to the attention
Please
of the
do.
Board? In terms of the pay, the check detail, I just call to your attention the fact that you'll see check number 1595. It's on page one, down one up from the bottom.
In which tab?
Miller Mechanics, under tab one.
Okay.
That's Evan Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware. What happens is, I mean, he gets pay, direct deposit pay that you'd see in the ledger as well. But when he does extra work beyond what, you know, he's only part-time. He's really working part-time, a full-time, but he's only part-time. And when he's doing special work like on Bloomington Well, or special repairs that I have to hire outside people for, or is this for the truck?
That goes beyond his part-time work or his other work that
you
have to pay him.
We pay him, we get an invoice from him and we pay him. I just want the board to be aware that happens. It's at the manager's discretion, and it's reviewed before he, or he's instructed to do it, one of the two.
Okay. Thanks for pointing that out. Anything else on the consent items? All right, motion?
I move that we accept the consent items.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It appears to be unanimous. So we'll move on to our next item. Item D. We'll start with some of the attorney discussions that we have, annexation resolution of phase four Sheep Creek cluster. Rachel?
So last month we discussed the fact that this phase four Sheep Creek cluster had a petition for annexation in 2006. The board had approved a resolution basically accepting that annexation, but they didn't follow through with any of the annexation requirements. So the board decided last month to go forward with basically redoing that process and getting that area annexed. And because service has been provided to that area for at least the last 12 months, statute provides a more expedited procedure for annexation that we decided to go with, which involves you passing this resolution, which I've included in your book. And Carrie actually has a numbered version. I think the version in our board book was unnumbered. She has a final version for us. Approving annexation of the Sheep Creek cluster. There's the plat map of it attached as Exhibit A to show the area that we're discussing. What happens is you approve this resolution, and then within 45 days we need to have a public hearing. The hearing has to be held 6 p.m. or later to get input. We would notice up the meeting between 10 and 30 days before the meeting by sending a letter directly to all the residents.
The affected residents?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is not that big of a deal. This area is not huge.
Right.
I mean, that wouldn't be a huge mailing. And then after the, within 30 days, and then after the hearing, you can adopt a resolution, and a second resolution, basically, approving the annexation. Let me see. And then there's a protest period. Written protests must be filed within 30 days after the public hearing. If sufficient protests are received, which is 10% of the landowners, then it can't go forward. But assuming there are no sufficient protests, then you adopt another resolution saying, you know, it's done. And then we file with the Lieutenant Governor our resolutions and a final local entity plat, which we'll need to have prepared according to the statutory requirements. And we'll send that to the Lieutenant Governor, and then it'll be done. Sorry, that was long-winded. Basically, approve this resolution now, and then we need to have a hearing within 45 days. Skipping ahead to the summit petition.
Hold on just a second.
Yes.
Don't we have a Powder Mountain Water and Sewer Improvement District Board meeting coming up in the next couple of months that is at night?
November.
So this is anticipated. Is this something that
we
can be anticipated in that?
We could tag everything together, and that's why I was going to say skipping ahead to the summit one. That one would also need a hearing, and so if we could do all these at once, that would eliminate the need for multiple evening hearings.
I'm on that.
Do we have a date? Do we have a November
date?
We do have a date.
Is that within 45 days of today?
It's November 18th.
It would be beyond.
It would be beyond the 4th.
Would we want to come back at the October meeting and pass this resolution?
I'm in Morocco.
Do we have an October meeting?
We haven't set one yet, but we will.
It'll be at the end of the month.
Bob, are you in? Are you around in November?
Very briefly.
Because I'm in Morocco.
First 10 days, something like that.
First 10 days. No, I'm gone November 5 to 20.
I don't think the 18th is right, Gary.
18th is a Saturday.
Could it be the 13th?
Maybe it's the 13th. I can't remember. Yeah, we leave for Morocco on November 5th. And we're not back till the 19th or 20th. No, actually, we don't leave till the 10th. Yeah, we're not back to the 24th.
If you can find that, Gary, that.
It is. I'm looking it up now. So we have calendar.
Budget hearing on the 13th.
It's the
13th.
Yeah.
Look up our previous minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. 13th. You're gone.
Yeah, we leave from Rock on the 10th.
13th.
Back on the 20th.
But there it is. The 13th, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You're gone when?
From November 10th to November 24th.
So she won't be here.
We'll be
Bob?
In Morocco.
Yeah.
13th?
We need to tag team all these things at one time.
Yes. When are you available on the 13th of November?
Yeah.
You here in Utah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm out of the country, Bob.
So, Jen said that she'll be in Morocco. So at 6 o'clock, she'll call us at 3 a.m. 3 a.m. her time.
No, she will not. I'll be on a camel in the middle of the desert. So no.
I mean, whatever we have to do all these things at one public hearing.
Yeah, one hearing.
Summit petition, Sheep Creek,
right.
Rate discussions, all that. November 13th, however we need to make that work.
Okay.
Well, then you can't adopt that resolution today.
Let's adopt it next time.
Yeah, you can't adopt it today because your 45 days would expire.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to adopt it next time.
Okay. So does that cause us any timing issues?
No issues. That should be just fine.
Okay.
Carrie, you've got a board meeting also that I've got an invitation that was sent for 4 o'clock.
Right. Do the board meeting for November. Previous to that, discuss the budget, pass everything to public hearing, like we did last year.
One,
So it's all done in one, and instead of spreading it out and doing one board meeting and then doing public hearing.
So just like one big 4-hour.
Fun.
Fun meeting.
We'll bring cookies and donuts.
Yeah, we'll have
tons of fun.
Dinner.
Do we really need four hours?
We may. It was just scheduled that way, just in case we had, like we did last year with the budget previous, and if there was any issues, and then that way public.
So. Bob's church only goes for 3 hours, but you, whatever you need to do.
Not to get too technical, but I think I would post the meeting at 5 instead of 4, and then 5 and 6, you know, and then if we run over, that's okay. You know, okay. It's just that we can't start the public hearing until after the post.
Well, you change the invite.
So we can be a little bit late if we need to, but we... You know what I mean, but we can't start early, so I would post our board meeting at 5, the public hearing at 6, and go from there.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Am
I good to proceed?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. That's totally fine. So I'm going to skip the second item and then go to keep on line with the annexations together.
Right.
The next is we received the summit petition.
Mm-hmm.
We received it, just at the end of last week, Carrie? Mm-hmm. Was it?
Yeah, it was last week.
It was, yeah.
Last.
So within 30 days, we don't have to do a resolution for this one, but within 30 days we need to certify it, which means we have to go through it and make sure that it meets all the requirements. We need to do that in conjunction with Weber County in that we need to discuss with whoever we need to there to confirm that the properties that they've included here are in fact owned. I mean, we just need to do a little due diligence and double check that the names are correct, the properties are correct, and the ownership percentages are correct. Once we determine, and I've looked through it and everything looks pretty much in order, but I don't feel completely ready to...
Exhibit B, annexation plat is blank?
She's got it.
It's right.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the plat. Okay, thanks.
I don't feel 100% ready yet to have you guys say that it's approved. What I would ask that you guys do today is to move to give staff a little bit more time to go through and actually check all the boxes and to certify it at the time that we, and send a certification letter at the time that we determine that in fact everything does look like it's in order. That needs to be sent within 30 days, so we don't really have time to come back to another board meeting. But if you give us the authorization to confirm that everything is in order and send the certification once we've approved that, then that's good. Another matter with this one is that we had kind of looked at the option of doing, there's again a little bit more of an expedited procedure. If you can get the petition signed by 75% of the landowners, but it has to be 75% both by area and assessed value. And by Summit's own calculations here on their petition, let's see, it's on page 5, it shows that they have 85.61% of area, but only 56.5% of the assessed value. So it looks like they don't meet that 75% threshold. All that means is that if you had met the 75, we could have skipped the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas they don't meet that, we're gonna have to do the public hearing. But we're doing another one anyway, so I mean, we'll just try to wrap it all together. So what will happen in this case is, like I said, within 30 days, we will send them a certification saying, yes, you've met the requirements. We're going to set the hearing date for such and such day. We'll notice it up. This one will be noticed more in the traditional method by newspaper and public notice website, since it's a larger area. Again, there will be a protest period for, I can't remember if there's a protest period on this one. I'll have to look at that. Anyway, then after that hearing, we can approve it. And again, we'll need a final local entity plat, which I believe they provided. So that may be all that we need to send to the lieutenant governor. So we may be good there, which is good because that's an added cost we don't have to do. So again, let's do those hearings at the same time. And that'll be good. So there's nothing we need to do today, except I'd ask that one of you present a motion to give staff authority to complete the review of the petition and send out the certification letter once we've determined that everything's in order.
So I'll move that we give staff the permission or authority to send out the
certification
letter.
After we have completed our review of the petition.
After we've completed our review of the petition.
Can I have a second to that?
Second.
Okay. Motion and second on the floor. Any further discussion?
I have a little more discussion.
Yep.
Is there a reason we're at 51% and not 75%?
I don't know that. I looked at it briefly, and I just see that they have put that in there as the assessed value. They have, like I said, 85% of the area, but you need to have 75% both of physical area and assessed value. And according to their numbers here that they've listed on Section 5, that the total value of they've included the total value of the area to be annexed, and then they've included the petitioner's total value, assessed value, and that has only come out to 56%.
56, not 51.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, if Summit were able to go back and get some more petitioners to sign on and present a new petition with more signatures to get up to that assessed value.
They could eliminate the need for the public hearing. Which could also eliminate the protest period.
So if you don't have a public hearing, there's a period where a non-signing person, someone who hasn't signed the petition, could request a public hearing. So
the likelihood is small.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be ideal if we could get to the 75% threshold. Just make it
I just, easier. I'd like to make that easy as we can, easy enough for Summit, but it sounds like it's not on us. It's on
them. It's on them. Yeah. If they want to go back and try to find some more signatures that they could get that assessed value up to 75%, we would appreciate that as well as they would, I'm sure. But if not, we'll go through the process of having a public hearing, which in a way isn't too bad since we're already going to be having one on the other annexation. It's not the end of the world, but it is what it is.
Okay.
So if Summit, I believe, is Jeff on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if that's something you're interested in doing, let someone know so that we can either hold off on the certification or just know what's going on there.
Jeff?
Look, I'm not opposed to a public hearing or a protest period. We tried to do this as fast as we could.
Yeah.
So that's why we did it the way we did it. We didn't have to get all the signatures, and we could apply for the petition that much quicker. So that's why we did it this way. It could take, I don't know how long it could take to get all the signatures to get to 75%, but it could take a while.
Yeah.
And I was under the impression that everybody wanted us to annex in as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I'm not particularly opposed. We're already doing a hearing, so...
No, and I'm not opposed. I just want to make things as easy on Summit as possible. So, public hearing is great if they're okay with it.
Yep.
Yep.
We're fine. Okay.
Okay.
So, back to the middle item. Sewer bond claim status. How are all of you familiar with this issue? Yes. No.
Before we go to that issue, we had a motion and a second. We didn't actually vote.
Yeah.
So we
there
do
you
that.
Go. Yeah, that would be
okay.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Okay. Hold on. Let me pull up my emails on this.
The sewer.
Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
So a couple weeks ago, Carrie Zanger received, was it a phone call or
phone
an
call.
Email from a woman in Colorado, I think,
mm-hmm.
who was claiming, well, why don't you briefly give like the brief quick rundown of what the phone call
sure.
was that you received.
So we had a lady call from Colorado stating that she was, at the beginning, she stated she was an attorney trying to collect on an outstanding bond that dated back to, she told me 1984. So I kind of listened to her, I questioned her. She said she was still gathering information on the dollar amount that was due and that she would get back with me. I asked her to email me all the information that she had with her contact information, what information she did have so I could research it. Then I made some phone calls, called Paul, sent everything over to Rachel. I did some research, sent the rest of the research to April, and there we have it.
Yeah. So basically she's essentially claiming that we've got this outstanding bond amount that we owe that none of us here were aware of. So I also reached out to her. From what I can tell, she is not an attorney. At least she's not acting as an attorney. She's like a, I don't know, it's this company called GBC Capital. I mean, this is so just weird and out of left field. It's this random small little company in in Colorado that claims that they represent the current bondholders. Now, the original bond, from what we can tell, was issued by Zions Bank. Mm-hmm. So they've clearly sold off whatever interest they had. And so, anyway, long story short, this bond initiated in 1989. Our first thought was, wow, this seems like a statute of limitations type thing, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm, to be honest with you, I'm still in the process of reviewing everything. So I'm just stating here for you guys to know the status of what's going on. I've received some information. From what I can tell from the documents that Carrie was able to uncover, was that there was some sort of settlement in, I believe it was 1997. I have a copy of a settlement agreement that's not signed, but I do have minutes saying that it was approved. So I'm assuming or hoping that that was signed in 97. What I need to try to find out, and I need to read it more closely, and I honestly just haven't had time, and I apologize for that, but what the status of that agreement was, what payments were made. They're claiming that they have records of certain payments, but I need to find out when the last payment was made to see if we have a statute of limitations argument.
And what's
here.
The amount that they claim?
Oh, they claim, when Carrie first
claimed. $1 million. They claim the original bond was $1,400,000 and something.
Yeah, and that scared the crap out of me, but that is not what they're saying is owed. It was
no,
like.
No, that's not what's owed. Or they're saying.
40 or 20 or something.
Something's like 46. 23 was the original amount, and then it went up to 46. But I will tell you that Evan called me back Friday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he supposedly talked to Alita, and Alita said that it's paid in full and that the documentation is with some other guy, and I'm supposed
Grant?
To call it. No, the gentleman that was taking, that had the books at the time before Angie, Gordon was his last name.
Gordon.
Somebody Gordon. And he's here in Layton somewhere, and he supposedly has all of the records.
And they have records that we paid in full?
That it's paid in full, according to Alita, but I have to get the records from him. I have to get the records from him. This was a phone call I got late Friday night. I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to tell you.
No, that's great to hear.
But
so anyway,
I just have to get with him.
My point in bringing this up is just to let you guys know and be aware that there was this sort of claim made. Since I reached out to her, she hasn't talked to me since. Like I said, it didn't seem like she was an attorney. When I looked her up on the website, she was like a project representative or something. It was so weird.
It's
this
odd.
Is so out there.
Yeah.
That none of us had heard of, and so I think we'll be able to get it cleared up. We just need to dig and figure it out. It'll just take a little bit of time, but
it is something that could cause us trouble if we
it could cloud our new bond. And
mm-hmm.
so,
right.
you know, I can't get a clean bill of health from Mark Anderson with this issue hanging over our head.
Yeah.
So it has some urgency.
Right. And I was out of town last week, but now I'm back, and so I will put some real time into this, and I'm very interested to hear what you just found. If we can find evidence that everything is paid, then
right.
that's that.
And he, like I said, I have his number at the office. I've got to search it, because he's the one that I did some research with when we very first took over, and that's how I got some of the information on the other property owners and all that. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
he supposedly has them in his office, but I was told that it will cost me to go down and go through his files, that he's not willing to do it, but he has everything there.
I'd be willing to go and do that.
Awesome.
If he would make the files available, I'd go down and dig through them. If he could give me his info,
I'll get all the information, because it
that.
Supposedly has, he supposedly
that's important.
Has everything.
But my thought is, if it was from that long ago and they were making payments and they stopped making payments, wouldn't there be some kind of judicial something, a judgment
something.
Or something at some
there's
point?
There's so much that's weird about
this.
Yeah, this
is what I told Carrie.
They just all of a sudden uncovered
this.
Right. Like, oh, what is this?
Now, to me, they would have moved past it, especially a bank, they would have moved past it and
right.
got a judgment lien or something.
It doesn't seem very professional at all.
No. If there's no judgment hanging out there and you don't find it, I say it's either one, it was paid
yeah,
off, or two,
there's
completely bogus.
There's one way
so.
Or another, it looks like, yeah, that's
right.
that's our goal.
That's why I said I'm not worried
yeah.
about
well,
it.
According to Alita, but
okay.
The documentation is supposedly.
Give me the person's information, if you would, and I'd be more than happy to go to Layton and
okay.
dig through his files.
Awesome.
Because it's
you.
So much fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
so
it's great reading material.
I'm a document nerd, so
yeah,
it's okay.
Okay, well, that's that. That's my report.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Nothing else that we need action on then as far as part of your report,
no.
right?
No.
Okay. All right,
okay.
We'll move on to Paul's report then.
Okay, well, thank you. It's been a busy time. It always is. It always has been. Always is a busy time, isn't it? There's never-ending surprises.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, item number 7 on the agenda is relative to fire hydrant fees. We charge $1 a month to the adjacent property owner for fire hydrants that exist in front of their property within the right-of-way. And that has been something that's been carried forward forever. There was a little eruption that occurred within the last 30 days, and I think Mr. Moyal was involved in it when someone claimed that they had that they owned the fire hydrant, and I think Mr. Moyal had a permit from us to use the fire hydrant with for some dust control purposes, and the guy, in essence, told him to get off his fire hydrant and go away. And it caused me to look at this and say, and I wondered.
Did you call that a dust up?
Yeah,
that's a dust up. You meant to say it
that way. Yeah, it's a dust up, all right. Caused me to wonder. I wondered, but then it caused me to suggest action relative to fire hydrant fee. That is just that, you know, that's just the beginning of what's not good. I mean, the fire hydrant's there for the general use of the public, the protection of the public. It doesn't belong to any one particular property or person. It belongs to the district, the fire hydrants, and we own and maintain them.
Why do we charge a dollar?
This predates us.
Okay.
So here's what I'm suggesting, trustee. I'm suggesting that, and we have this as an action item, I would like to ask that you consider removing that requirement, removing that fee. It might cost, you know, right now it's costing us, we're getting a couple thousand a year. It might go up to maybe five, but it ain't worth it, you know, in terms of what it means, you know, what it could mean in terms of misperception of the public. I'd like to just be done with it. So I have that as an action item here that the board consider removing those fire hydrant fees, and we will no longer charge them. And, you know, we can either start this next month, or we can start January 1. I don't care.
We principally based, I'm still trying to figure out why they would do it in the first place. And you're not able to tell us why you would.
It's not a normal practice.
It dates back to the 80s.
Yeah, it's something that this district did.
Started
up. History. But it isn't normal practice in the industry.
I would make that motion that we remove those fees beginning January 1st to just keep it clean. 2018.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, we'll vote then. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous.
Thank you. Next item is we passed a couple of months ago a hookup fee, and this is under tab
8.
8, thank you. And there's a table under tab 8 that shows meter size and who pays for what and what cost would be. What has changed on this is that prior to this, when the board passed on this previously, we charged more, and we had the district buying the box under the column box. That's the housing for the meter. Since we're changing our approach to the box, we need to get them deeper so they don't freeze. I'd like to recommend to the board that we do not collect money for that. We will collect money for the meters, and we will supply the meters because it's specific to our system. They're radio read, and we need to make sure those meters will read radio. So we have a specific supplier that we use and a specific specification for those meters, and so it's better for us just to have them in stock, and when it's time for someone to get occupancy, we bring the meter and put it in, and done, they're on their way.
So during construction, there's one kind of meter, there's a hookup meter, then you put the permanent meter in at time before the CO is given.
Sometimes what they'll do during construction is they'll just put a pipe across. They call it a bridge.
Right, I understand that.
It's a freebie for during construction. But then when it's time for the CO, then we put the meter in and sign off that they're ready for occupancy.
So the bridge it depends on the subdivision. Bridges are still used in. Paul, I have to trust your judgment, but bridges are still used commonly or, because I see them both ways.
Yeah, I really, we haven't supplied a bridge to anybody. I'm just saying that could be a potential if somebody really
needs it. Somebody hacks it in themselves.
Yeah, they hack it in. We kind of watch for that, but I usually, it's, you know, for during construction, it's usually not enough water to worry about.
Unless they're water mitigation or dust mitigation.
Yeah, that we would jump on them for. We'd expect them to do a hydrant meter and go for real. So what we'd like is we've revised this hookup fee schedule, and again we'd like your consent for this revision to change it from what we had it before.
Advantageous for us as the board to impose a separate fine or fee if we do find a bridge in place by the time we set the meter? My only recommendation, I'm okay with the whole suggestion, except for I would like there to be a fine or a fee. That's going to be legal language with regards to that. I don't know if I think it's called a fee, not a fine, I think. And if we have to take the additional time to remove the bridge, if a bridge is in place, we find a bridge in place, then there needs to be some type of a
supplemental fee for that.
A supplemental fee, and it needs to be
high.
It needs to make sure that people understand that that's not okay. That that's basically stealing water.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what I would suggest. Jen worked on, did a fine job on getting the first, rough draft of the rules and regulations. I'm now taking them, and Jen, what I'm doing, I think it'd be less complicated. I'm splitting sewer and water is what I'm doing.
Okay.
And I've got a model from some other districts. So I'm taking your stuff and I'm applying it, I'm splitting it. That's a place where it should be, is in the rules and regulations, very frankly. So had I not been diverted, I would have had something for you to look at now. I'm going to get it done real quick here.
Sorry I diverted you.
No, it's a good point. I caused it. So let me get that incorporated. We've noted that. We'll get it incorporated in the rules and regulations.
So do you want to bring this back and put it on the agenda on a subsequent meeting?
We can do this on another time. I mean, we're doing something with, see, we've got a cost on the 4-inch meter. We've got a demand for a 4-inch meter on the Summit development construction. And we've already charged that. They're okay with it, so we're fine.
A 3 or 4 inch bridge will fill a water truck in a hurry.
Yeah, there's no bridge on this one. I'll show you that. We're inspecting.
Okay.
So, yes.
It's just covering our base, and then it eliminates the question moving forward.
It's good. I'm with you. So we'll move on with that, if that's okay, and just be aware that's what we're doing.
Okay.
Next thing, and the reason that I'm bringing up this nasty item, number 9, the budget, and you see there's a 11 by 17 sheet in your under your tab
6.
Bob and I spent some good quality time Saturday evening, going through Saturday night, actually. It was 10 his time and 9 my time, and we just had a lot of fun talking about numbers.
Fireside chat?
It really was. It was, we covered the world too. What you see here on this spreadsheet is if you see the grade column, you see 2017 budget. That's the budget amount that was approved for 2017. And as best as I can, and all of these line items here come from our rate study. So there are a couple that don't fit precisely the budget, but the number, the total amount of the budget is precise. I have not messed with that. I have maybe pigeonholed a number where it shouldn't be, but the number matches. So you see here, in short, what you see is proposed income for next year based upon a rate that Zions had proposed. I'm trying to do two things at once here, Carrie. And there it is there. Let's hand it out. And this is what Bob and I went through. And then what you have here, more importantly, what I'd like to take you to is I'd like to take you to the lower portion, the operational expenses. What's in red is what's new, what we feel we need to operate in this next year. And the reason I'm bringing it up now is that I want to get the rate study done, and in order to get the rate study done, I've got to have your sense of what you want to charge in terms of rates. So, you know, we could go through this ad nauseum if you wish. Bob helped me cull it down. For example, I had, and Bob suggested that I not change the board wages, which is $2,500 per year. You're allowed under the law $5,000. He suggested that we keep it at what it has been heretofore. That's one thing you could look at. The other thing that was discussed at some level, many levels, is the district manager. Let me say to you, relative to the district manager wages, now we've had Summit paying half, so it's $54,000.
You made that correction, I think, if I remember correctly.
I did state that, and I said, you know, I think it's time for us to go it on our own. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to be the district manager into perpetuity. I think you know otherwise. You know, it's going to come time for me to assist this district in finding a district manager. I will say this to you. It will take that kind of money to get somebody, if, you know, if that's the way we go, you know, to have and attract a district manager. It's going to take in the 100,000 range to get somebody that's that will do the job right for you and has good qualifications and is a jack of all trades, of all things, you know, can handle the multifaceted things that this little district does. We've taken a guess of what our legal would be. I guess I didn't change it, even though it's higher than that right now. We've taken a guess at, you know, we've got pumping costs, we've got maintenance costs. One thing that Bob and I talked about, and the reason for the delta between 600 and 450,000 is we have sewer problems down in, I call it the lower valley, the lower part of the system. We're still getting gravel in the system. And so consequently, I got a call from Evan, and he says to me, we got to replace another pump. You know, they're like $10,000. And the one pump we didn't replace, we got to replace it. It's grinding gravel. I'm going, still? Why? Well, you know, maybe we should lift the pump up. No, why are we getting gravel in the system? Well, we're going to have to get some guys to come up to TV and, you know, flush and TV the lines and see where on earth the source is, you know, where the gravel pit is that we're taking care of.
And then tear it up and replace it.
And then fix it, yeah. And so that delta is going to help with, you know, will help with that. That's not here. I've got to buy some equipment. I told Evan he's getting a new pickup. This pickup he's got right now, the company truck, is starting to cost us. I had initially said I want to buy a crane truck, you know, a one ton with a utility bed and just a small crane. Because I said, how are you going to get that pump out? And he said, remember, I've got chains on it. Well, how are you going to lift it? Well, I might have to bring a contractor in to lift it. Well, we're going to go this next year or within the next 2 years, we're going to go from operating five pumps, which we have in the lower valley right now, up to 11. With Summit's, five to 11, six pumps. And I've got one pump up on the upper mountain that will come online, have to come online before the end of this year. And so for us to have to hire a contractor or a crane truck to come in, and they should be maintained every year. They should be lifted out, cleaned, and checked. Will get costly. So it takes the cost
of the
truck.
And then you take the pump out and you put a spare or a slave in.
Yeah,
or you're getting a rebuild.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you have a crane truck, then our maintenance guy can handle it.
But then he also has to spend more time. There's a time element there too.
And
where a subcontractor could come in and he does the time and everything.
If we can get him when we need him, and it's always an emergency in the middle of the night, that's where Murphy works on these stupid things,
okay.
You know, or a weekend, holiday weekend. So Evan's going to full-time on this budget also. You'll see the operator here about halfway down. Operator wage is $60,000. So we need to go, he's almost working full-time anyway. And so we need to just have him on staff and have him as a regular employee and track him as a regular employee. So that cost is in there also. So those are some of the things. But really the important thing is that's an ancillary thing. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to look at this other 8.5 by 11 sheet that was just handed to you that shows what the rates are. Did I have a copy of that or did we hand them all out?
They're all here, sorry.
Okay, I'd like to have one. I've got one here, thank you. So here's what Bob and I worked through, okay? And I scratched it and this was Saturday night, so I just made copies. I mean, what the heck, you can see it as we work
through.
It works. Flat rate for the new area, the additional properties that will be annexed into the district, or already are, in other words, the Summit development areas. Flat rate is, right now it's at 44 a month, and up to 6,000 gallons. We're proposing the rate study, and this revenue would mean $88 a month. That's double. That's for connected. Non-connected goes from 37 to 78.21. Now, in the original district where Jen lives, it would go from 44 to 62. We'll hear from her husband for zero.
I hear it every day.
6,000 gallons, and for non-connected, it'll be it would change from 37 to 55. And then, as far as the sewers concerned, you can see what those rates are down the next under basic residential per unit cost, the next column under sewer there. The change would be 44 to 80.50. That's random on the part of me and Bob's. 37 to 60 for non-connected. And then that's new district. And then the original district is 44 to 60 and 37 to 42. So what I'm going to ask for in the way of a straw poll, because I need to give Zions some guidance, all of you, so we can get this done, so that we can plow this into our budget, so that we can be on with life. I'm asking for a straw poll, is what I'm asking for. I'm asking for your feelings on this, because the public's going to come and they're going to protest.
This is in that night meeting.
Yes. And so what's your feeling? What do you, where do you want to be? And then we'll, you see our expenses. We've called this expense thing down, so you know what the floor is now. And that doesn't include, by the way, Bob asked the question, does it include payback of the loan on the well? No, that's down in the lower column. Does it include a new, whether it's a pickup truck or a crane truck? Pickup truck's 30,000, crane truck is 90. No, it's down on the, you know, it's in another column and it's got to be plowed in. Mm-hmm. It's there, it's part of the 600, but it's not shown here. It's on this big sheet. It's, whoops, on my big sheet. It's in a different column and I can show it to you.
Have we anticipated in these numbers, these charges, that because the well drilling and that bond that we're going to get, the 1.4 or 1.5, yes, that's for the getting water out of the ground. That's not all the
delivery.
Pump stations and everything else. That's
not delivering.
So how are we paying for that?
Well, I have to, yes, thank you. I had to, yes, that's a good question.
I mean,
question.
If you want to write a check, we'd take it, but.
I could sell my family and everything I own and probably write you one.
There you go. That's a good plan.
But there are two thoughts. You know,
mm-hmm.
We have not secured the bond yet.
Okay.
If I would suppose, I'm only guessing, that my first trick up my sleeve would be to go back. I'm going to go, the state's always glad to amend their approval
mm-hmm.
based upon actual costs. And so that's why it was good for us to get all these actual costs,
okay,
you know, in terms of well drilling and also site preparation. I could go back and see how flush they feel and see if they could give us another million, you know, and before we do the bond and just do it once, you know, not
right.
have to do it several times.
So then that would finance the rest of
the rest.
Build out of it.
So
okay.
Bob suggested, and you know, with the concurrence of this board, I've already talked to my staff about doing a schematic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Of, we don't know what size, because we don't know how much water, but we know what size line. I mean, it's going to be a 6, 4, and 8 inch line. You know, it's the pump thing that we don't, you know, the pumping. I'm going to try to eliminate a pump by going, well, pump in the middle and we're up on the mountain, you know, as opposed to three. I think I can do that. But I mean, we can get some ballpark numbers and get a schematic so that we have some idea, so that we could present it to any and all, you know, kind of a thing right away. So, but the guess was another million. I hope it's less than that. But go to the state, or then just get out on the market.
And then just ask for more. Well, I'd prefer it at 0%.
Of course.
But what does that do to the debt service then? Are we able to cover the debt service?
It would run it up, but then I think with these rates, we could, you know.
We can cover.
We're at $45,000 a year for the initial amount per year.
44. Well, that was year four. The first 3 years was like
24,000. Yeah, because I wasn't sure what we were doing, what we had in the way of revenue. 24.8.
Right.
And then it goes up to 46.8 with the retention.
So if we add another million onto that bond, it would almost double it, right?
Double it, yes. And I think, you know, we're going to generate an extra 100 at least here, you know, if we don't have to use it up in all of it up in O&M.
Well, we've also got to think about that when you start talking about gravel being filtration.
Yes.
That's critical.
It's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we're generating enough from these fees to cover the debt service, because
we can't
operate in the red.
Yeah, of course.
So, okay, we'll
talk about that in a minute.
There's a lot of red over here.
Yeah, well, I did that for attention. I did it for attention.
We are operating in the red.
Yeah. So,
our attention,
so what is your comfort level with what we, I'm just asking about the proposed. Just give me your opinion. That's all I'm asking for.
I like that it was reduced as opposed to going the other way. So the reduction that you have here is pretty large, though, from the first set of numbers that you gave, especially sewer.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite a huge reduction.
That's a swag.
Yeah. It's good if it's realistic.
If it's real, that's what I'm saying. How realistic? That's a really large decrease.
I'll get our actuarial to figure that one out for us.
It's like a 20% decrease.
It's a comfort level and also the actual crank and grind. So, you know, I'm looking for a comfort level. And then I can say this is where their stop is.
Right.
And then we'll do what we got to do.
Because I would hate to do this and then have to go back in 2 years or 3 years and go, oh, by the way, we thought we had the numbers right, but guess what? We're increasing it another 30%. I'd rather hit them once with a massive increase than go back in 3 years and say, you know, oh, oops, we're not covering what we need to cover.
Well, you know, here's the big sheet, Jim, and you'll see that he's run it out. So he's doing escalation. He's doing an escalation number.
Oh, he is. Okay. This came from Zions?
That came from Zions.
Okay.
That's before I modified the budget, you know, but still, it gives you an idea of the game we're playing,
right,
so to speak. Of
total revenues. That's what I want to see, is what the total revenues will be based on. These are based on the revised or the original numbers?
No, those are original. All this is original
numbers.
Revised.
Okay, so they're
going to
be less than this.
Different, a little bit different.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, if you'd like, Jen, you may have that.
Sure.
You know, since you like
to Since I love numbers. No, I just want to make sure that the revenue that, again, nobody likes increases. Everybody's going to complain.
I know.
You know, it is what it is. We're not a profit company that we're trying to, you know,
correct,
make returns for shareholders. So I think if people understand that this is what it costs to operate it, here's what we have to charge to do that, to cover it, we have zero at the end of the day, we're not making a profit, then I think, you know, people understand. It's also a 40-something plus year old infrastructure that is put together with duct tape and zip ties.
Yeah,
so I think as long as people understand that we're not in it for profit, one, there's, you can see the separation between the newest things, the summit phases, and then the original. I think that's another concern of people that live in my neighborhood. You know, we're getting all these huge increases. Hey, this never happened until summit started. Are we somehow
paying for that, and people have that, and it's very simplistic. It's like, no, here we can show you. They're paying for their section. We're paying to keep ours still work functioning because it's 45 years old.
Yeah.
Plus. So yeah. I think that means to me, they made very clear, you know, to my neighbors, to my guy, why we didn't have this. If there was a summit, we'd still be paying $30 a month. I'm like, yeah, no, probably not.
No.
We would have had to do something eventually.
No.
I just want to make sure that gets put across, because people see it as, hey, what happened? All of a sudden in 3-4 years, we went up 80%, 70%. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know,
it is ridiculous, but
but you got to pay for it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's necessary.
You know.
Bob,
okay.
You're going to talk about your little outline. Here's a
rubber band. Okay.
Well, Bob.
Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
You're going to talk about your outline?
I mean, I think it's important for purposes of this meeting, and please jump in if I'm not thinking straight, Paul, that we at least get from the board their sense of whether the rate increases are proportional and fair.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, there's going to be a very serious look at commercial rates as well. That would be included in this, but whether the board feels that these rate increases are proportional and fair and can be sold on what they recognize as sort of line item situations. I don't think we need to get hung up necessarily on the highly specific issues of whether we buy a truck or something with a crane on it or how much are, you know, those sorts of things. What I suggest we need to do now is just kind of understand that and in order to keep our system functional, there's going to have to be rate increases that get passed on to the end users. And are these proportional and can they be sold? That's what I need to hear from the board members.
Right. That's what we need. So I would ask, Mr. Chairman, that we get some sense of what the board feels, and then we'll move accordingly.
Well, Bob, how do you feel?
I think that it's totally proportional. And somebody that lives in the world in my neighborhood that doesn't think that there's rate increases that are warranted is just clueless. I mean, we're lucky the system's working at all right now. We don't have a secondary water source. We're going to have to service debt on both the Cobabe well and infrastructure to get it up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
We have all sorts of other legitimate, supportable expenses that aren't being met by our revenue stream. And unless we can print money or deficit spend,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to get there. So this can be sold. I just
mm-hmm.
think we need to when we do come up with the final, everything's crossed, factored in, that it's picture perfect and accurately reflects what we view as today's best guess. I hate to use the word guess, but let's call it what it is. And it's not like we haven't experienced mid-year variance when something happens in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unanticipated revenue, unanticipated expense. So this is just an exercise on getting to where we need to be, and I'm fully supportive of these efforts right now, and I think it's absolutely supportable.
Anybody disagree with that?
No.
I couldn't say it quite that good, I know that.
Yeah. You have to spend Saturday night
yeah.
with us. What you say?
About 11 p.m., I was thinking it had to be supportable come hell or high water.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't
right.
see any
okay.
disagreements, so take that for.
So Paul, I'm assuming that we will be able to now get with Zion and Matt and really refine this and get our commercial table organized.
Yeah. Right, because I'll have to put
have an ironclad communication strategy with our customers.
Yeah. Yeah, so with the nods, then I'm going to get him to get it done,
mm-hmm.
and then see that then allows us to finalize our budget,
mm-hmm.
and we're ahead of the game by a month or so. Hooray!
Got
maybe,
it.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Okay, if I may, on to the next couple of things. I'll try
yeah.
to move this along faster. Sorry. As far as you notice that I've given you the flyer on the conference for special districts. Again, I drive this point, please understand. We just got the audit or the review from our outside auditor. And of course, one thing that the state auditor tracks is, are the trustees trained? And if he can't check off yes, then we'll hear from them. We can't check off yes. I'm not, frankly, I'm not as concerned Jen, I'm more concerned about you and Bob than I am the county commission side of this board, because they get some.
We go through about eight of these a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am in town those days, so.
Yeah, so if, you know, we'll be glad we're into, you know, we're a couple bucks.
Okay.
It's in Layton.
That's not far, okay.
We'll be glad to make the registration for you if you want, you know, take care of the paperwork.
I can do it online.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'll plan on going to these.
Thank you. You know, the main one is Wednesday. You know, if you go to Wednesday, which is the board member training.
Oh, that's another one.
If you look at the specific, and you look at the detailed agenda they have.
Right, I'm sure it's online.
The Wednesday one gives you the, as a matter of fact, there's the.
Oh.
That's the one that gives you the training. And then we can check off yes. And then Bob's gonna find something online, great.
Yeah, there is one online, but when you get your certificates, I have to have those.
Okay.
So I've got them on record.
Oh, so if you complete the, if you complete all this.
You complete it with a certificate. They give you a certificate, but I have to have that in the file.
And so the board that I'm elected to, I'll be at that, those meetings, because they pay for me to be there, because they want that certificate. Our manager wants that certificate, so even I have to be trained, so.
Got it.
You got company. Okay, the next thing is the Bloomington Well Progress.
Just one quick question. Are we a member district?
We are a member.
We are
a member district, okay.
Yes, we pay our annual dues.
Okay, because it makes a difference in the.
In the price, it does.
It does, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. The next thing is the Bloomington Well Progress. As of this morning, the report this morning, they are down at 1,522 feet. Their target is about 1,800 feet. Per their schedule, they want to start turning on our well and checking its the influence and everything starting on Saturday, if they perform per their schedule. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. At this point, and Jeff, you're still there? Oh, Jeff? Maybe Jeff's gone.
Jeff sounds like he's gone.
Okay, at this point, when they start doing this, this is when we need to kick into gear. My staff needs to kick into gear. My hydrogeologists, with their special meter, to oversee what's going on and to minimize and mitigate any issues that may occur because these two wells are now trying to coexist initially. So within the next week, there's going to be more intense effort on the part of CRS to make sure that this asset, the Hidden Lake well, is protected as best it can be,
mm-hmm.
while they're doing all the stuff they need to do to check out the Bloomington well. This is all, will be back charged to Summit, but I just want you to be aware that that's what's going on. And that's where we're still trucking water. We've probably taken on about 6 or 8, well, maybe 10 truckloads so far, and until such time as we're ready to put this back online. And it won't be back online Saturday,
mm-hmm.
or Monday, because what I, you know, we'll check and we'll recheck first, and then we'll take a full spectrum of waters to be sampled, which is $2,000.
Okay, that's my question, is the water that's going in, that they're trucking in, that's supposed to be culinary grade water? No, if they're taking them out of fire hydrants in Eden, that would be culinary grade water?
That is.
Because
okay. Oh, yes.
I saw the trucks down
oh,
in Eden.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. That's highly regulated. We've got
okay.
a permit for that. Oh,
okay.
yes.
All right.
Very
just
much
to make
so.
Sure. I'm like, okay, is that...
Yes.
That's what's going in the tank. That's what I'm
that's
drinking.
Right.
So.
That's right.
Okay.
No. We're giving you
okay.
drinking water.
Because I've seen a couple of water. I've passed a couple of water trucks.
Yeah, and I think, frankly, next week you'll still pass them. We're not going to come back onto the system until we're really comfortable. And I have
sure.
test results back from the Hidden Lake well saying
okay.
it's still good. We didn't foul it out somehow. So.
Okay.
We'll
hey, Paul, I'm on the phone if you had a question
oh.
for me, sorry.
Did you hear my conversation, Jeff?
Yeah, I was
okay.
on mute, sorry.
Okay, I was just informing you that, you know, my staff is going to be up there, that's all, to just for oversight on the Hidden Lake, protecting the Hidden Lake as best we can.
Yeah, like you said, we're on schedule. We're looking to do our pump test next month.
Yeah, so and then, Jeff, we'll pull a full spectrum of water, you know, we'll go for the expensive sampling, which is about a $15 to $2,000 sampling, mm-hmm. just to make sure everything is just the same as it was before. What's changed is still within criteria that the state has set. It's just a good insurance policy for all of us. So,
okay.
I just want you to know that's happening, and my guys will be up there as they need to be. My staff, my hydrogeologist.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks for responding, Jeff. Let's see. Bloomington progress. I'm going to move into a financial item, if I may. I think I'm proposed rates. I've done that. Reminder, special districts. Update budget, you've seen that, so I've covered that. I'm going to tell, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to take care of some of the financial report now, if I
sure.
can, if you don't mind. And that is, you'll see under tab, well, it says trustee's report, it's under trustee's report.
Mm-hmm. And
treasurer's report.
Excuse me, I was looking upside down, okay. Forgive me. Just a minute. You just showed me something there that pictures.
Oh, yeah, pictures.
You see this?
Oh, yeah. What happened to that?
I got multiple pictures. This is what's happened through the winter to all those new pump stations that Summit constructed. This one happens to be on the main drag, but there are a couple that, one that we need to get going that has been just decimated. Sure. And it wasn't hit by a snow plow or anything else. The snow.
It's just snow.
And I got to tell you.
Is that the snow coming off the plow?
No, I don't know.
That's a lot. You're not good.
This is off the plow, this one. But
that's got to be off the plow.
But the ones that are on what they call the private road, where one of our customers is going to come online before Christmas, that I've got to get the pump station running. I just tell you, and I'll say this even with Jeff listening, the construction, the design was for a tinker toy, not for these weather conditions. I mean, the enclosures have broken mm-hmm. under the weight of the snow because they're fiberglass, they're not rated for what's up there, and the frames aren't even holding it. I mean, it's terrible. I've got my chief construction manager meeting with Cache Valley to see what it's going to take.
Cache Valley Electric.
They're the ones that did all the installation work.
Mm-hmm.
And to see what it's going to take to get this functional, you know, get all the electrical put together again, the panels and everything, new enclosures if we need to and stuff. There are three of them that Summit maintains that we own and we accepted. They maintain that. I don't totally buy it yet. I'm investigating still. But we need to get them running. So what I'm going to do is the classic attorney approach. I'm going to get the repairs done, and then we'll talk about who pays for the damages later. But I need to get them running so that we know how much we're damaged.
How much power is going to each one of those? How many amp service is it?
I think the big ones are 200. I don't think these are that big. I think they're 100 amp.
Okay.
I didn't look at the breaker, but I bet you they're 100 because they're small.
They're not more than 200 amp.
No, none of them are. I think these little ones that I'm talking about that we supposedly have already are 100. Because the generator size is considerable.
There's got to be some kind of a metal housing or something put around there, whether it's a steel expanded metal or something.
We've talked about just literally putting a house over them on the big ones. Now the little ones they say is ours now. So we'll come up with. I'm number one. I want to get them running and do whatever I can to get the enclosures to be protected enough to make it through this next winter. And then number two, we'll look at the enclosures and talk about
just heavy expanded metal. Even if something comes pounding in there, we put some bollards in front of it. And so it can't do that again.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Ridiculous.
So next time you're riding up there, you just stop and look at those things.
It might be this week actually.
Yeah. You just look at them and see what, I mean, it's bizarre. Now, if I could take you to I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over.
Treasurer's report
under the 8.5, 11 by 17 sheet there, which shows you where we think we are right now. And it takes you to the end of the year in the far, more red, Jen, more red.
More red.
in the far column.
But it's only 52,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
52.
Pardon me if I'm not up on the table dancing. No, I'm just, it's not, I don't like shortfalls.
Oh, really? and the, well, the you know, some of the major ones that hit us. Well, you can see what they are. You can see where the budget's overrun. Of course, we've talked about this. You know, in the past few months, I've warned you that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We had the emergency sewer pump station outages in the lower valley. We have, with the negotiations and everything, we've got additional legal costs. We've got additional costs from Barnett's water rights consulting costs that are running us extra. But also in these are not all overruns. We are trying to project through the end of the year, very frankly, to you and say, this is, I'm trying to give you a picture of what's ahead.
Well, thank you for doing that.
And I'm going to suggest a partial solution. I've got part of the solution already, and that is we went back and we looked carefully at what bills we had received from our attorney, from Barnett, the water rights consultant, and CRS, that could be considered impact costs or related to the new well. And by our calculations, we feel that $42,219.42 can be back charged to that effort relative to the new well.
That's good news.
And so hence what I want to do with your authorization is I want to take, see, I'm keeping two sets of accounts here. First is the general account with
Wells,
thank you. And then there's what I call, affectionately call, the PT account. That's with the state. And all the money that we get, the $11.5 that we get in, which are the connection fees that we've collected, go into the PT account so that I keep a separate, distinct record of where that money is. That PT account currently has how much in it?
300, and it's back there also,
$330,000
in it right now. Behind the next page, it gives you balances.
So what I want to do is I want to take from that, because I think this would fit as an impact type expense.
Yeah.
Or it'll go against our 15% on the match for the loan.
I'd like to hear comments from the board on that, but I think that sounds reasonable.
Yeah. And then all I got to do is figure out where I'm going to get the other $12,000 to $15,000, and we're good, you know. So maybe some more income will come in on meter reads and stuff, you know. So that's what I would like authorization from the board to make that transfer, and then so this $42,000 will go into your checking account for O&M.
Okay.
So I support that. I suppose I have a question that might be more appropriate to Rachel, actually. Rachel, is there a strict requirement of not commingling what might be defined as impact revenue and operating revenue, that sort of thing?
Bob, you got to say that again.
No, you cut out there.
Okay. So we generate revenues that are clearly impact driven, namely impact fees, connection fees, that sort of stuff. And then we have monthly fees, if you will, user fees. In order to meet our expenses, can those funds be used interchangeably, or are they strictly required to be segregated? How does that work?
I believe that the impact fees have to be used for that impact, but I'd have to look more closely at your question and get back to you.
You understand what I'm saying?
Do.
I mean,
totally, yeah.
I mean, if we're going to be adjusting fees, user fees, when really the need is on capital intensive things, for example, connecting Kobe production well to end users, then we need to know that, because we would be better served by looking at assessments rather than rate increases. Am I not thinking straight, or what?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I would prefer not to, and unless I hear that we can't do it, I think we're okay.
Yeah, I'll look into that.
I mean, Paul, what do you know from your experience or any of the county guys?
Well, as far as this, you know, since we don't have an impact fee study and we don't have an IFFP at this point, and we'll get one, but we don't have one right now, I'm playing,
okay.
To be frank, I'm playing it just a little bit on the edge, if I can. Now, this, the attorney doesn't like to hear that, but I'm playing it just a little bit on the edge, you know. Somebody,
okay.
If they really looked at it, they said, I don't know. But I don't think I'm far enough over the edge to get us in deep trouble. You know, you got
well, the impact fee is going to be a huge accomplishment because we're going to be almost certainly looking at more connection fees next summer related to building permit applications, right? Will serves?
Yeah. Okay. And we'll get to it. But, you know, obviously I got to get a rate going and, you know.
Oh, no, I understand the multitasking.
So I'm on the edge with this, Rachel, but I'm
okay.
I think I can defend it.
Okay.
I have no document. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Did you need any kind of action on that?
Move money? I guess it's more to inform the board, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more on information.
So I guess if I kind of get a thumbs up, I'm going to do it. You know, it'll save our cash flow.
Thank you.
Let's see, any other financial?
Just the balances is all it is. The PTI and the Wells Fargo balances.
You can all see those.
The PTIF has $322,723 and Wells Fargo has $40,000 in it right now.
And we just paid bills of how much?
The bills were $66,000, so once we move the $42,000 over, we'll be fine.
See, that's what it means. Okay, now you know what I'm dealing with.
Okay. All right, so we've handled the fire hydrant fees, the Cheap Creek discussion, the certification of the annexation. We're done, right? Other than closed session?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, do we need to have a closed session today? Okay.
I got a couple quick things to mention, Terry, if you don't mind.
Okay. So let's have a motion then that we enter into closed meeting to discuss the acquisition of real property, including water right and any pending or reasonable imminent litigation. Can I have a motion to that effect?
Move to that effect.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye. Well, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, since it's unanimous, we'll consider that a roll call vote. Unanimous vote. Okay, we'll be adjourned to our closed session.